once the dust settled and I had a chance to reflect on the journey of last year rather than the game, you know, it slowly turned into an accomplishment. And for myself and my players, that's something that I'm never going to forget. I always say, hey, I always wanted to be in a boy band growing up, but, you know, but
I don't think you have the hair for it.
My wife squashed that dream really early. She made it very clear that I can't sing, I can't play an instrument, I can't dance.
You're dialed in to the ABCA's Calls from the Clubhouse podcast, connecting our coaches with some of the best baseball minds in our game. Now here's your host, Jeremy Schiedinger.
We are broadcasting live from the ABCA National Office here in Greensboro, North Carolina. And coaches, you are in exactly the right spot. Dial back into our podcast and another edition of our Dugout Chatter episodes. You guys are really hitting us with some super positive feedback about these shows as we continue to highlight our tremendous, loyal, and proud ABCA member coaches. And we've got another great interview dialed up for you today, so stay tuned. But first and foremost, on behalf of the American Baseball Coaches Association, we want to take time to thank each and every one of you guys for listening into the show each week. We love delivering this audio gold to you each and every time we put a brand new episode out. I mean, we're taking notes and learning right along with you guys. And our hope is that you find yourself challenging what you're doing and teaching, developing and growing your own personal philosophies. But this is exactly what it's all about. And we thank you for jumping on this train with us. So keep listening in. We're going to keep bringing it to you each and every week. So here we are, our third episode of our Dugout Chatter shows. And this is our first small college coach on the show. We picked an all-star in Jamie Shevchik, the head coach at Keystone College in Pennsylvania, an incredible baseball guy in our game. And I truly wish that we were sitting on buckets in his dugout catching up. I love spending time with this guy. And we had a blast talking through his career in baseball with Jamie entering his 16th year as the head coach there at Keystone. Over 500 wins, reached the national championship game last year with the Giants, but talk about a baseball lifer. Over 10 plus years, Jamie's rolled his spring seasons right into collegiate summer baseball. He coached in the New England Collegiate League, but then spent the last couple summers in the prestigious Cape Cod League as a manager of the Brewster Whitecaps. So again, coaches, these are about shining a light on the endless list of impressive and incredible baseball men that are proud members inside the ABCA, and it's a way to get to know them outside those white lines. And we're excited to have you guys get to know Coach Jamie Shevchik from Keystone College on today's Dugout Chatter episode. So let's not waste any more time. Let's dive right into it. Pop in those earbuds, turn up the volume, get ready, because this great interview is coming at you right now. So coaches, a big element of this Dugout Chatter episodes, we like to sit down with loyal ABCA members, but more importantly, tremendous baseball men. We've got one of those today as our guest, a baseball lifer, guy that's done extraordinary things in our game, but more importantly, is just one of the true great people. And we're excited to introduce Jamie Shevchik, head coach at Keystone College. Jamie, thanks for being on the call with us.
Hey, excited to be here, Sheets. Thanks, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one, man. I'm excited about this, too. We had a chance to finally meet at the World Series, and obviously you guys made a run into the national championship and got to kind of watch your family in action. And we've had a chance to spend a couple nights in New Jersey a couple weeks ago. And you truly have a baseball family in every respect, right?
Oh, I absolutely do. I've got the wife and kids are in for the long haul. So I definitely married the right person, and they're part of this thing, you know, for the long haul just with me. So I lucked out there.
Yeah.
I got a great supporting cast. And I think that's, as you know, it's extremely important.
It truly is. And you certainly have that. I'll echo that. I think when we kick this off, Jamie, the key is making sure that right from the start, our listeners get a chance to really find out who you are, where you've been, what your story is. So if you could kind of walk us through your career in baseball. I mean, it's some interesting dynamics. Obviously, spent a number of years at Keystone, but obviously your summer ball experience and getting into the Cape and those things, I think our coaches would be very well served kind of hearing your career path in baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, when I was in college, we didn't have 800 summer leagues throughout the country that we can go play in. We were either had to play in the Cape or some of the big time summer leagues, or you stayed at home when you played. So really, you know, when I was in college, I put together, you know, the best amateur players in the area, a couple former minor league guys, and we played in what was called the Collegiate Summer Baseball League in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And we kept those guys together for about 8 or 9 years. And we had a lot of success. We had a lot of fun playing baseball. We knew that we weren't going to be the guys that were going to play pro ball. We just loved the game and we loved playing. And, you know, eventually we became the old washed up guys in the league playing against college kids, but we still were able to hang with those guys. So that's kind of where it started.
Wow.
And, you know, about halfway through that, over 8 or 9 years, where my coaching really started, because that just proved that I was just a good recruiter. I didn't do any coaching with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1997 is where, you know, I tried to get things moving. So I applied for a JV coaching job at my former high school, and I didn't get the job. And at the time, you know, of course, you're disappointed. But, mm-hmm. you know, my wife always tells me when one door closes, another one's opens, and it did. So a few days later, literally right after I didn't get that job, Mike Collins, the head baseball coach at Keystone Junior College at the time, called me up and he, you know, said, "Hey, I'm looking for a pitching coach. Are you interested?" I graduated from Keystone in 92. So, you know, that's kind of where the whole thing started.
Wow.
I was the pitching coach for 3 years. Then Mike decided to take the assistant job at Binghamton University. Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity to kind of step right in as the head coach. And we stayed at junior college for 2 years. And then in 2004, we transitioned into a 4-year Division III program.
Wow.
So since then, yeah, I've been almost 20 years at Keystone College in a coaching aspect. And this is now my 16th year as the head coach.
That's pretty awesome. And go into a little bit, because I know obviously extensive history in summer baseball besides coaching at Keystone. Go into that a little bit and update them on that front.
Yeah, about halfway through my coaching career at Keystone, I started to interview for a few jobs, a handful of Division I jobs as an assistant, some Division II jobs. And then, you know, I was told the same thing over and over. I didn't have any Division I experience.
Mm-hmm.
I was married at the time. I had a child. I didn't have the resources to go be a volunteer somewhere or, you know, to kind of grind it out at a Division I school. So I sat down with my wife and we talked about, you know, what we need to do if she was on board is to try to get into either the Cape Cod League or the New England League
mm-hmm.
and let me use that as my Division I experience. So, you know, I started in Danbury, Connecticut in the New England Collegiate Baseball League. And I was there for 7 years. And, you know, for 7 years, every summer, packed up the family, drove, you know, 3 hours north to Connecticut, coached in for 2.5 months. And, you know, it started to get a little tough on the kids, and it started to get a little tough on the wife, you know, after 7 years.
Sure.
And then, you know, finally, you know, I actually retired from summer baseball. And as soon as I did that, I was called and had an opportunity to manage in the Cape.
It's awesome.
So literally the headline says Sheftrick retires from you know, the New England Collegiate Baseball League. And I think a week later, it probably said Sheftrick is back in summer baseball.
Right. You can't get away from it.
Like, absolutely. The thing with the Cape, though, this is more of a reward for my wife and the girls. I mean, they absolutely love going up there in the summer. You know, I think it's, to me, if it's just about baseball, and there's times where it has to be just about baseball, I'm convinced that I've got one of the 10 best jobs in the world as a Cape League manager. To be around, at any given game, and I know you and I talked about this too, we're going to try to get you up there this summer. It's a special place. If you haven't been there, if anybody hasn't been there to see games on the Cape in the summer at any given game where you can see potentially 12 big leaguers, it's something really special to see, and I recommend any baseball guy to get up there for the summer and watch some baseball.
That's my goal, is to get up and see the Brewster Whitecaps in person, but also want to head over to Wareham and see Don Sneddon, who, you know, Don's one of our loyal members, over 35 years with the ABCA, and spoke at our Barnstormers event, and I want to see him as well, because they'll be hosting the All-Star game. So that's our goal. So hopefully we'll be crossing paths here again really soon. But, you know, you're going through all that, Jamie, and I'm wondering, because sometimes there's these moments, these, you know, aha moments where it just kind of strikes you that this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. This is my moment where coaching is a career. It's not a hobby. It's not even a passion. This is my career that I'm going to dedicate the time and energy and obviously my focus to. Did you have a moment, maybe it was early on there when you guys were a junior college as an assistant, or was there another moment maybe when you became a head coach that really struck out to you?
Yeah, I think like most guys, I figured it out pretty early.
Yeah.
You know, that I wasn't going to be a professional baseball player. That was the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the summer amateur team that I started was more of a hobby. When I started coaching in Keystone and I had a chance to start teaching and developing players. And of course, when I had the opportunity to now basically run my own ship and be a head coach when Coach Collins left, to me at that point, it was a no brainer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember telling my AD at the time, because originally it was a part-time job at Keystone. And I said, you know, this is something that I would love to do, but for me to, you know, really put in the time and dedicate what I really want to do, you know, I need this to be a full-time gig. And fortunately,
sure,
she was right on board with that. You know, it didn't take long for me to get a full-time coaching job. And I got it at a young age. You know, I started coaching full-time, and I think I was 24 years old.
That's lucky. There's a lot of guys that little go. I know personally, I went 8 years without it. And there's a lot of guys that go 10, 12 years and really piece it together, $1,000 here, $5,000 here, run the camp circuit, run the summer ball circuit. That worked out really well for you, man.
Yeah, it was a blessing. Sometimes,
sure,
I think, you know, for somebody to get a head job that early, you know, I didn't miss out on some things. Like I said before, I mm-hmm. didn't miss out on, you know, possibly going to be a volunteer somewhere. But who's going to turn down a job, you know, a full-time coaching job at 24?
Sure.
It just doesn't happen. So I made the right move. I knew then that I wanted to be a baseball coach. And obviously, I'm still doing it right now. I can't get enough of it.
That's it. You know, an interesting parallel here, Jamie, is that, you know, I was talking with Paul Maneri back in the fall. We had him and Corbin and Savage on, and he's obviously been a head coach the majority of his career. I mean, I think it's all but maybe 2 or 3 years that he was an assistant. He's been a head coach most of it. And it's that interesting reflection on, you know, hey, I think I would like to go back and be an assistant at some point, or I know that I've missed out on that. And gaining perspective and doing things. But again, you also gain a lot by running your own ship and learning by failure and, you know, trial by fire in a lot of regards, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm the same way. You know, I did miss out on that, and it's possibly something that I would love to do in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to me, I'm very comfortable where I'm at right now. When I have, you know, coaching full time at Keystone and having the opportunity to go up there and coach in the summer in the Cape and manage up there, you know, I'm living the life right now. Like I said, I've got one of the best jobs in the world.
Well, if you get a chance, listeners, if you can get on social media, find the Keystone baseball account and look at the 18 uniform options that the Giants have that they roll out when they go play games. Jamie's got it figured out. They're just doing a fantastic job and winning for a long time. Like I said, just recently got to the national championship game, and that kind of segues us into this next question, which I think I might know one of the answers. But if you could talk through kind of the highs and lows throughout your career, what are some of those high points that, I mean, you were just riding high and you're driving down the road and you reflect back on those, or maybe some of those moments that really stick a knife in you that you really remember pretty clearly?
I think it started in 2011. You know, we won our first regional. We won the New York regional. So we had a chance to go to the College World Series for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what made this season so special, you know, was the players, and especially, I'm sorry, this past season,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting back to the College World Series, was the goal all along. But I think what really made it special for this year in particular, last year, was the guys, because at one point throughout the middle of the year, we had no consistency. We weren't playing great baseball. We weren't even convinced that we were going to win our own conference. And it came literally down to, you know, the last conference weekend, whoever wins 2 out of 3 last conference weekend hosts the conference tournament and is in the driver's seat. And we
right.
ended up sweeping 3 games and hosting the conference tournament, winning it. And to be honest, we didn't lose since that day
mm-hmm.
Until we got beat by Trinity in the national championship. So getting to the College World Series twice in the last couple of years, having the opportunity to play for a national championship last year and getting the manager's job in the Cape.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, like I said before, that's a reward for me, but it's more of a reward for my family because they sacrificed a whole lot over the last summers in baseball as well.
What about those low moments? Is there any ones that stick out to you that you can't shake and maybe you wake up in a cold sweat thinking about at certain points?
I think there's definitely low moments.
Mm-hmm.
I think I mean, again, the easy thing to say is getting to a national championship and losing. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly a low, because you just never know when you're going to have the opportunity to get back in that spot again.
Sure.
But the good thing about that, about last year, is, you know, it didn't last long. Mm-hmm. Once the dust settled and I had a chance to reflect on the journey of last year rather than the game, you know, it slowly turned into an accomplishment. And for myself and my players, that's something that I'm never going to forget. Mm-hmm. It's never the game or the result. You know, it's the journey that got you there that I think we don't forget.
Sure. You
know, painted on my office wall in the dugout, on every piece of literature that we hand out, is the same quote. It's to champions, the process is everything. We lost the championship game, and I walked out of that stadium thinking to myself, hey, we might have lost the last game, but you know, the process of what got us here made us champions. So that was really, really special for me.
Wow.
So it was a low, of course, but again, it didn't last long. I think the lowest part, or the lowest thing that have ever happened in my coaching career, also happened last year. Sean Murphy, a right-handed pitcher, he graduated from Keystone in 2010. He was drafted by the Oakland A's, and he was moving through the minor leagues pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
He went through rookie ball, A, high A, triple A. And just before he broke into the big leagues, he had Tommy John surgery.
Oh, wow.
So he goes through the whole rehab process, and he's battling his way back. And while rehabbing last April in Arizona, I received a phone call that no coach wants to ever get, you know, about his former player. And basically, you know, the call was, hey, you know, I hate to tell you this, but Sean Murphy was found dead in his car in Arizona.
Wow.
So it was tough. It was tough. It was a tough thing to hear. And of course, now your mind is racing. You have no idea, you know, what happened, what did he do, you know. So I felt bad for Sean's family, you know, mm-hmm. for everybody that was supporting him. You know, the autopsy came back a couple months later, and he ended up passing away from a rare heart disease, and it went undetected for a long time.
Oh, wow.
So we were shocked, and we didn't know what to do from there. You know, the only thing that we can do as a baseball team and for me is to try to do what we can to keep his memory alive and show support for his family. We kept his jersey, you know, in the dugout with us. Every press conference that we had at the College World Series, his jersey was there.
Mm-hmm.
And it really gave some comfort to his family that we were, you know, we were still thinking about Sean and trying to help him get through that time.
That's an incredible story. I think, you know, the one thing you mentioned earlier that I thought was, it kind of answers the next question on how you get through some of those moments. You know, the process to champions, the process is everything. That is a standalone quote that certainly helps you. I could just kind of hear it in your voice, gave you the instant clarity of, when, like you said, when the dust settles, I can move forward because this is part of it. You know, you've worked so hard to get back here. You know, you don't know when you'll be back, but at the same time, that's part of the process itself. That's a pretty good story there. Now, let's take a different route here. Let's kind of ride the roller coaster here and get into some interesting tidbits about you, Jamie. If you had to really break away from coaching, let's say it ended tomorrow, and you had to get into something else, or if you had to rewrite your own script, what would you do? What was the dream growing up, or what would be something you would get into if it was outside of baseball?
Oh, sheet. Such a, honestly, I know you even said it earlier. I'm a baseball lifer.
Sure.
Honestly, I really have no idea what I would do.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's a little bit scary.
Yeah.
You know, I always joke. I always say, hey, I always wanted to be in a boy band growing up, but you know, but
I don't think you have the hair for it.
My wife squashed that dream really early when she made it very clear that I can't sing, I can't play mm-hmm. an instrument, I can't dance. But I think honestly what I would love to do eventually is, you know, I would love to, if I'm not coaching or if I'm not teaching, I would love to be in the front office of a major league ball club someday. And if that doesn't work out, I promise you, if you're at a minor league stadium somewhere 30 years down the road, you might see me escorting you to your seat. Yeah. I cannot be around baseball.
Sure. I think you get free peanuts with that job, which was, it's worth its weight in gold.
I just can't see myself doing anything else.
Yeah.
I'd miss the teaching. You know, I'd miss the relationships you make just from being in the game.
Yep.
You know, I think this game, your success or your failure is in your control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I visited places and have been all over the country because of this game. So I think it's too rewarding of a profession for me to do anything else.
Well put, well said. I think there's a lot of listeners that are connecting with that one. And this may be a better question for your wife, but is there hidden talents or hobbies that are behind Coach Shevchik? Is there something that we don't know, or maybe our listeners would love to know, that you're really good at, or a hobby that you're into that may be off the beaten path from being a baseball coach?
Well, there's probably not a lot of hobbies that I love to golf, but I'm not any good at it.
Okay.
You know, I hate being bad at something that I like doing. Mm-hmm. You know this, I'm a huge football fan.
Yep.
I'm a big time Minnesota Vikings fan. I actually enjoy watching football probably more than I like baseball. But I think, honestly, and I don't want to call this a hobby, the other thing that I really love doing is I love being a dad. I've got three little girls that I absolutely adore. And I've always said, you know, I always wanted to be, you know, the father first who coaches baseball, you know, rather than the baseball coach who's got three daughters. So mm-hmm. being a good dad is extremely important to me. And that's probably, I want to think that I'm a good father. So if I have a talent, I'm hoping that's it.
I'm going to keep feeding this. I keep going back to social media. If you get a chance, guys, go friend request Jamie on Facebook, and you will see pictures of, number one, the most glorious man cave of all time in any the history of men. It is the greatest man cave, but this is one loyal, dedicated Minnesota Vikings fan to the core. It's impressive. Like your gear collection that's purple and gold is quite impressive.
And I'm from northeastern Pennsylvania, so a lot of people ask me, how did I become a Minnesota Vikings fan?
Sure.
And I just blame that on – I blame that misery on my father.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, there's another – you can stay on this just a little bit, because obviously we've enjoyed some really good laughs off air and getting to know each other. But I'm interested, because I always think this is a question that a lot of coaches, when we were coming up with this dugout chatter idea, were, hey, you know what would be a really fun question? And it's also been the greatest one we asked throughout the show. Give me the funniest story that's happened to you on the road with your team. A bus breaking down, some incident at a restaurant, whatever it is, but the funniest story that's happened to you throughout your career on the road.
I've got two pretty good ones.
Good.
When I was coaching in Danbury, Connecticut, a few years ago, it was towards the tail end of the season. It was actually a home game, so it wasn't on the road, but it was a home game. Still a great story, though.
Mm-hmm.
Late in the year, we're trying to make a playoff push. It was a big game, and, you know, probably the second or third inning, you know, one of the umpires asked me to be a spectator for whatever reason.
Sure.
We don't get into that.
Yep.
So of course I left. And as I'm walking off the field, I wound up pulling a Bobby Valentine. I'm walking towards my car and I see the Danbury mascot walking around. And if you don't know what the Danbury mascot is, it's the big baseball head, like the New York Mets guy with a big cowboy hat on. He's got, you know, a Westerners uniform on, and he's got the big clown shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled them off to the side in the parking lot. And, you know, two innings later, you know, a lot of people were wondering why the mascot is hanging out in the dugout for the next 6-7 innings. And it was me. You know, it took even a while for my players to figure it out. But I ended up coaching the rest of that game in the dugout dressed as the Danbury Westerners mascot.
Outstanding.
Something that every – absolutely.
That's great.
And I think the second one is, and I need to make this very clear, because it certainly was not funny at all at the time. I can mm-hmm. probably laugh about it now. It's one of those moments where you, as a baseball coach, you just don't know what to do and you're speechless.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we're on the road, doubleheader, a long day. So, you know, early in game one, we call out to the bullpen, and just to paint a picture of what this feels like, the bullpens are in dead center field. It felt like a mile away.
Oh, goodness.
And so we radio out early in to get one of our relievers ready, probably our best bullpen guy that we have out there. He gets up, he starts throwing a little bit, not a whole lot, but then we shut him down. We didn't need him. About four innings later, about five innings later, we need to get the kid to get hot. So now we gear it up again. The radio comes back in and he says, hey, he can't go. He can't get hot again. And we're just wondering why this kid can't get hot again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get through the day, we get on the bus, we're driving back, and my coaches and I are still trying to figure out, you know, why this kid, we couldn't get him hot. We didn't even have a conversation with him yet. One of my coaches they're laughing a little bit. I can hear them whispering behind me. And, you know, I turn around and I say, hey, what's up? What are you guys watching? Well, they're looking at something on Twitter.
Oh, boy.
And they show me a video of the reliever that couldn't get hot. There's a picture, there's a video of a Domino's delivery guy driving up to the back of the bullpen, getting out of his car and delivering pizza and breadsticks to the bullpen. Our reliever pays for the pizza, pays for the breadsticks. So when I finally confront this kid, I'm trying to hold back a laugh. I didn't know how to react. I had no idea how to react to this situation. And I said, I just want to know why. Why did this whole thing take place? And he looked me dead in the eyes. And he said, Coach, I couldn't get hot again because I couldn't leave the pizza and the breadsticks in the bullpen because I was afraid somebody else was going to eat it. I didn't know what to do.
Right.
I've never thought somebody would have the stones to order pizza to the bullpen of an away game. And he said he didn't eat all day long. He was hungry. And we talk about it now and we laugh, but at that moment, I didn't know what to do.
Sure.
I literally froze and had to take a few days to kind of process that whole thing.
Right. They're still processing it.
I'm still trying to process it.
Goodness gracious. Coaches, I hope you're enjoying this. This is going awesome so far. We're sitting down with the head coach at Keystone College, Jamie Shevchik, and also the manager of the Brewster Whitecaps in the Cape Cod League. This is an interesting question because I think it dives into, for coaches out there that have these significant people that played large looming roles in their career and in their development, and it's just like all the sports talk radios, the Mount Rushmore, but this is Jamie's Mount Rushmore. If you could name us three or four people and why that have been so influential on you from a baseball perspective, again, wives and parents kind of aside, but at the same time, three or four people that really played a large role that are on your Mount Rushmore, who would those people be?
Yeah, absolutely. On a personal level, I have two guys that were really hands-on with me. Mm-hmm. Bill Howerton, longtime University of Scranton coach who passed away a few years ago, really got me started and took me under his wing when I first got into coaching. You know, he took me to my first coaches convention in Cherry Hill. And, you know, and I remember that day vivid. I was really excited. I was 23 years old, 24 years old, whatever it was. I had everything mapped out of all the speakers that I want to see. I couldn't wait to go see all these guys. So we get to the hotel and he says, you know, get change. We're going to go grab a bite to eat. And we're in Atlantic City. We're in Atlantic City playing blackjack for the next 12 hours. So, of course, you know, the next day I'm dead tired. I sleep through, didn't see a single speaker. And then we go home. So my first coaches convention, I spent in Atlantic City playing blackjack for 12 hours and didn't see a single speaker.
There you go.
But he was that type of guy. But he was just somebody who really mentored me and somebody that I can always lean on for any sort of help. So he's somebody that I'm never going to forget. Another person is Mike Mould. And Mike Mould was the baseball coach at Keystone for more than 25 years. He still teaches here today. We go to breakfast, you know, once a month. He's a guy that I really respect. Anytime I need any advice or just somebody to rant to, he's always a guy that really looked out for the best interest of my career. And then there's a handful of guys, I got to know from just being in the Cape, you know, guys that I've studied their game, like Paul Maneri, you mentioned him before, or Dan McDonald. Butch Thompson, John Sheff, guys that I really got to know from being in summer baseball. These guys have been successful, and they're doing it right, you know. So I was eager to know what they do with their clubs. And, you know, for these guys to say to me at times, hey, you know, we really trust you. We with our guys that we send you, we know that you're going to do right by them is really comforting to me and reassuring that we're doing things the right way. And then I think the last two guys that I want to mention is probably the two – couple of my fellow coaches in the Cape, John Schiffner, Scott Pickler, other managers there. You know, these guys have been around the game for a long time, and they're loaded with baseball knowledge. You know, so those guys have really guided me through the process of managing up there. They've been around some unbelievable talent that we watch every day in the big leagues. So picking their brain on a regular basis is something that has benefited, I think, my career as well.
Have access to those kind of great baseball men. Absolutely. You'd be remiss if you didn't take advantage of that opportunity for sure. More questions here, but I think the one that I always think is very intriguing, because you can take it a lot of different ways. I think you can take it personally and think about maybe, you know, if we built the time machine and we could send you back in time, we could stand there in front of, you know, 22-year-old Jamie and you could offer that young man advice, what would you say? But also think it turns into, you know, what's good advice that you would give now to young assistant coaches that they probably need to understand at 22, 23, 24 that'll maybe prevent some heartache as they move forward and obviously move them on a different track?
Yeah, you know, when I started out as a head coach, I didn't have a whole lot of experience under my belt. So it was kind of, you know, I had to learn a lot of things along the way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on your first dugout chatter, when I heard Coach, you know, Schlossnagel talk about, you know, young coaches and assistants to be, you know, to be where your feet are. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't agree anymore with that. You know, as young coaches, I think we try to push our way and we're in a hurry to get to the top. You know, it can't be about the big payday. You know, if that's the case, then we're in the wrong business.
Sure.
I think the value of coaching can't be in dollar signs. Sometimes the best job in the world is right where you're at. You know, contrary to what a lot of people think, you know, there isn't a lot of rich coaches out there. For most of us, I think, you know, we're lucky enough if we can pay our bills.
Yep.
You know, but again, you know, the value can't be in dollar signs. You can't put a dollar amount on a job that offers us as teachers. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the other things that I think I would say to coaches is to be loyal. You know, in this business, loyalty says a lot about your character and who you're going to be as a baseball coach. So building relationships through trust is a priority, and it should be a priority for your players and your coaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think another thing would be, you know, embrace the learning process. This goes back to not being in a hurry. You know, knowledge is information that we gain over time. You know, it can't be just the new baseball fad or the new product that's on the market. You know, the game hasn't changed that much. It may have evolved over time, but it certainly hasn't changed all that much. You know, right now, the market is absolutely flooded with the next invention that's going to help our guys get to the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our generation of players and coaches, you know, it seems like we're always looking for the quick fix. You know, for instance, you know, we're consumed about velocity or increasing velocity with pitchers. You see that every day on social media.
Yeah.
And I get it. You know, and I certainly get it. You know, some things may work, and a lot of that stuff does work. You know, the weighted balls at some level do, in my opinion, I think work, and there is a benefit for it. But it can't just be about throwing a weighted ball as hard as you can. There has to be other steps along with that process.
Mm-hmm.
A good friend of mine, and he's my assistant coach in the Cape, Tom Weber, who I think is one of the smartest baseball minds out there. And it's, you know, he has a quote that I think for every pitching coach or every pitcher who's trying to fast track their way with velocity, you know, he has a quote that he always says. He said, you know, I've never walked away from a game wishing that my pitcher threw harder. But if I had a dollar for every time I walked away wishing that he threw more strikes, I'd be a rich guy. Now, that says a whole lot. That says a whole lot about what we see in this day and age.
Wow. That's well said.
So, you know, so I think to sum it up, when you're coaching, you have to have your core beliefs and your philosophies. And then again, you pick and choose things from other coaches and you make them your own.
Sure.
You know, the key is believing in what you're teaching. And more importantly, it has to make sense. It has to make sense to your players. It has to make sense to you. You know, get out there and network, ask for help, ask for advice, take advantage of the things like you're doing with the ABCA.
Yeah.
I've been a head coach for 15 years and I'm still learning things today.
Yeah.
I've never walked away from a coaching convention or a clinic without some kind of information that I could incorporate into my program.
Love it.
So, the key to that is sticking with what you believe in, your philosophies, and it has to make sense to your players. And I guess probably the last part would be, if you get a chance to coach in summer baseball, do it. You know, you have one of the biggest learning tools right at your fingertips. I've learned so much over 10 years just being around some of the players from other coaches, I mean, from other programs,
mm-hmm.
and getting an idea and a feel of what they do on a daily basis. I think I've probably learned, you know, more in my coaching career of being around 20, 18, 19, 20 year old kids in the Cape or in the New England League than I have anywhere else. So if you have the opportunity to get out there and coach somewhere in summer baseball, it's invaluable.
Here's a follow-up just to that, because I'm really interested. We got some momentum on our side right here. If you're looking back right now, and you're looking back at 24-year-old Jamie that got the head coaching job, those first few years of being a head coach and really figuring it out and, you know, probably making some mistakes and learning from them, being better because of it. But as you sit here, you know, today on the interview at 75 years old, and you're looking back at you at first getting going, what do you see? What were the areas you went wrong? What were some of the mistakes that you made that you obviously can laugh about now and learn from?
I think I was just stuck in my ways. You know, I was hard-headed. I was stubborn. I was going to do things my way. I micromanaged a little bit with my assistant coaches. I wanted everything done to perfection, and it doesn't work that way. You know, I think being a good manager and being a good head coach is allowing your coaches to have some freedom to do what they need to do as long as it's under the same system. And I've had some great assistant coaches over the past few years. And right now everybody says this, but I've got a great group of guys that are working for me. Mm-hmm. You know, for me to leave and go home, if I got to go home with my family, or if I have to go and get on the road recruiting, and to leave my guys here and coach today's practice, I'm 100% confident that it's going to get done. It's going to get done efficiently. It's going to get it done the right way. So I think early on I was probably scared. I was nervous. I didn't want to fail. So I did a lot of those things to probably protect myself instead of opening up and giving some power to some guys that really know a whole lot about baseball.
That is powerful stuff. I really appreciate you diving into that. I think there's a lot of listeners that would certainly feel exactly where you're coming from and have walked in those shoes. So I tell you what, man, this has been everything I thought it would be. We talked about Jamie being our very first small college coach, and I don't think we could have kicked it off with a better guest. So Jamie, I really do appreciate the time, the information, you being so forthright on your career and your highs and lows and your really introspective view of your career. So thanks for being on the call. We wish you, as you guys kick off in a couple weeks, we really wish you all the luck in the world, and I know we'll be catching up again real soon. Thanks, Jamie.
All right, Sheet. Take care, man. See you in the summer.
Talk about a true baseball lifer, and you've got Jamie Shevchuk, the head coach at Keystone College. Love listening to him reflect on his path in the game, the lessons learned along the way, and guys, we hope you can hear the dedication and commitment to the game and teaching that Jamie's taken throughout his coaching career. So Jamie, thanks for the time, jumping on our show. We truly wish you and the Giants the very best this season. Done a fantastic job building them into a traditional regional and national power, and wish you guys the very best this season. So again, coaches, here's the quick rundown on how you can find our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast. The first way, our website, abca.org. If you click on the resources tab at the top, Calls from the Clubhouse podcast link will be right there waiting for you. You can see all the shows we've put out up till today. The best way, subscribe to our show on your iPhone, your Android device. Every time we put a new episode out, it'll show up right there on your phone. It's a great way to stay up to date on all the great coaches that we're putting out through the airwaves. Subscribe to our show. Also, follow us on Twitter at ABCA1945. We'll put out the show link. We'll put out quote images throughout the week. But we want to see you retweeting, liking those, sharing our show, getting it out to as many baseball coaches as we can, because we're really taking a lot of pride in delivering this terrific content for each of us to help grow and develop. We want to bring the certified audio gold to each and every baseball coach that's out there. So please do your part. Share the show, retweet it, get that information out. And if you saw some activity last night on Twitter, you might have noticed hashtag ABCA chat. That's our bi-weekly online Twitter chat where we connect with coaches from all over the world and we talk about the topic of the podcast. Last night we were talking about coaching staff dynamics, how we can grow and develop, basically being where our feet are and staying locked in to developing our players and building a program. And it was a tremendous way for coaches to connect and engage with each other. And so we hope you join us on our next ABCA chat, Monday, March 20th. 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a fantastic opportunity to network with coaches from all over, and we hope to see you check in on our next hashtag ABCA chat. We hope that you follow us on Twitter. That's at ABCA1945. You can find me on there as well, at CoachSheets3, or you can shoot me an email at Sheets, S-H-E-E-T-S, at ABCA.org. Guys, the emails, the tweets, the messages that are coming in, just the feedback that's so ultra positive about where we're going and what we're doing. Guys, you're part of that, and you're on that train with us. So continue to help push and grow our game. We truly appreciate your feedback and your positive notes. Keep those things coming. And we hope that if by this time you've listened enough, you know what we're about, you've joined the ABCA. You're part of the world's largest baseball coaches fraternity. because that's important that you know that it's $45, but it's also the best investment that you'll make in your coaching career. And it's an opportunity to get extensive membership benefits, but be part of the world's largest baseball coaches fraternity. We want to see you join the ABCA very soon. And until next week, guys, keep growing, keep developing. We wish you and your teams the very best, and thank you for what you're doing for the game of baseball.